spring is here and summer's just around the corner, so it's time to get busy. Are you ready to swipe right on this podcast? Today, my good Judy Karma Nybarger joins me to chill out and take a look at all the hot news.
American Airlines begs their passengers to leave their emotional support goats at home, alongside spiders, snakes, and lizards.
The new Bohemian Rhapsody trailer is out. A film on the musical legacy of Freddie Mercury and Queen will hit theaters in November.
A new study says LGBT youth are stressed out and live in fear.
And a look at Sid and Marty Krofft, the stoner brothers from California who made a ton of psychedelic kids TV way before Pee-wee's Playhouse in the late 70s and 80s. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Karma Nybarger.
And this is Feast of Fun. Ooh. You want to moan?
Yeah.
Wait, do it. No, you want to make it louder. Not too loud. That's pretty good. Oh, you sound like you have constipation.
I feel like I have constipation. next time.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of the support of fierce, fabulous people like you. Become a member and listen to 14 years of amazing podcasts at feastoffun.com/plus. Or put a tip in our tip jar and make a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate. Thank you for your support. They call me horny fellow. Swipe. What is it?
Swipe rightly.
My gal pal, my good Judy Karma Nybarger's back on today's show.
Woohoo!
Welcome, my dear.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Last time Karma was on, she was having life-threatening adventures on Tinder.
Yeah.
With a guy who claimed to be a private detective, and later after he had sex with you, confessed to murdering three people.
Oh,
in self-defense?
Well, one was revenge. Oh, the other two were self-defense.
Well, you don't seem too upset about it.
No, he stopped contacting me. It's fine.
You cut off all contact with him.
I just stopped responding.
But you've since then, you have a couple other internet dates.
Yeah, I got a couple lined up.
Yeah.
There's this guy who hails from Brooklyn.
Hot.
New York.
I saw a picture of him.
Yeah, he's a redheaded
muscle daddy bear.
Muscle daddy bear in a bathtub.
I think this was the... Well, I'm just judging him on looks.
Yeah, me too.
Do you know anything about his personality? Is he also murder people?
No.
I just worry about you. I don't want you to get hurt.
I also don't want to get hurt. Don't let this tough exterior fool you.
You're like, oh, he's just going to kill me. Well, at least I don't have to file taxes this year.
See, there's a silver lining.
If you're going to murder me, do it before I have to wash the dishes or do laundry. Because that would suck, you know? Like, you do all this housework.
I know. And then you don't even have to do it because you're dead.
And then you're just like, oh, I know. It's like, this is really grim. Things to talk about. But this is good. So you're feeling optimistic. You're feeling
hopeful. Yeah. He makes cute little jokes and it's fun. And he's made little sex jokes. And I'm like, oh, this is gonna be fun.
Does he have a nickname for you? Like you're my little squirrel love?
No, I'll suggest
my squirrel
it.
Friend.
Oh, that's cute.
That's what RuPaul calls her friends, squirrel friends.
Oh, squirrel friends.
That was actually a thing that we did in the early 90s.
I love it.
Everybody's like, hey, squirrel friend, what's going on?
Missed it.
That? Yeah, it was like around the time of Delight and all that stuff. You know,
yeah.
Groove is in the heart. It seems like this week on Feast of Fun, it's just been 90s week. We're like, in the 90s, things were different, kids. We're like interviewing people like that are, you know, came of age in the 90s. And Scott Thompson is on tomorrow's show with
That's
Brian
so
Sweeney.
Cool. He was my favorite part of Kids in the Hall.
Likewise here. That's a big reason why I do comedy and in drag and all that stuff is because of Scott Thompson.
Yeah, I love those little lounge singer. Where he would have his little martini.
The father, the preacher, the son, and the man. You know.
Oh,
I finally got to ask him too about his relationship. What is it? He ends this monologue about racism with Yoko Ono and Malcolm X hanging out at a bistro.
Oh.
And it felt like very much like a non sequitur. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of explained that ending for us. So that's something to look forward to.
I can't
and
wait.
It's going to be available first to the premium listeners, the Feast of Fun Plus subscribers. You get to listen to it first. And then later on, it'll be available. Maybe never. Maybe we'll never make it available to anybody.
You're so catty.
Maybe we just only make it to people. Because a couple people canceled their subscriptions. I was like, girl.
You're missing out.
You're going to miss out on Scott Thompson. And yeah. Brian Sweeney making out.
Oh.
It's like Brian. I've never seen Brian Sweeney more gay than in this interview. It's kind of crazy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Exciting. I was like,
and, you know, so... Carmen and I just got back from the Chicago History Museum, where we went to see a big announcement. The city of Chicago is putting money into taking Studs Terkel's archives, radio archives, and turning it into a podcast and website and resource for anybody to listen to. Basically, you know, Carol Channing being on a podcast, and you can listen to old Carol Channing on Feast of Fun in our archives, or you can listen to young Carol Channing at the beginning of her career with Studs Terkel.
You can do both now, thanks to the Chicago Historical Museum.
She's like, "Where's the microphone? I don't know it well. I'll let my husband explain it to you. What are you doing? What's going on?" That was basically our interview with Carol Channing.
I've been most enlightened by all your penetrating questions.
Sorry. It's just imagining some old lady just making these sex jokes.
We didn't know. It wasn't in the studio. We could have called Carol Channing and she would, you know, somebody else pretending to be Carol Channing.
Oh, no, it was her. It was totally her.
Yeah, you know it's... that's the Studs Terkel Radio Archive, and you guys can go online and check it out. What was kind of the highlight for you for the experience? Because when it first started, we were like, if this sucks, we're going to get out of here.
Yeah. Snoozeville. Honestly, Eve, I think, was the highlight for
me. Eve Ewing, host of Bug House Square.
Mm-hmm. Project and her podcast and the little clips that she played from the interviews that Studs did with James Baldwin. And more importantly, the interview...
James Baldwin. I am a homosexual and African-American. The plight of the black man in this country is most unfortunate.
Poor James Baldwin. He had a rough life, let me tell you. He's... You know, and every single photo of James Baldwin, he's like sitting around smoking and writing.
Yeah, he's always smoking and writing and like looking at the camera like,
that's what people did in those days.
Why are you interrupting me?
They're like, they just smoked and they're like waxing philosophy.
Yeah, they're just talking.
He had a fantastic voice.
Yeah, he did.
And so that's kind of fun to listen to. And so the name of the podcast is the Bug House Square. And so Eve Ewing, and we're trying to get her. She's a public schools teacher who inspired her students to interview their family members.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. Yeah. You know, that they, because I don't want to sound like kids these days.
Don't care about what grandma has to say.
Right, and she's like, you better care about what grandma has to say because you're going to be graded on it.
Well, and sometimes, you know... we have this idea, this idealized version that like kids are really cute and smart and funny, and our seniors are cute and smart and funny, but they're just people like everybody else, and they're good or they're bad. There's some people are jerks, some of them are nice, and not everybody's grandparents are like charming and witty, you know?
No. A lot of them can't tell stories for poop. Unfortunately.
They're like, back in that day, bananas were called yellow nuts. or something like that, you know. My dad was a good storyteller. He was into humor.
That's good.
He was good. He would have been a... He was actually... There's one podcast with my father, if you go on Feast of Fun.
Really?
You can listen, before he died. I taped it about a year before he died.
Oh.
He's like, I want to tell all the listeners out there, hello, happy Father's Day.
Aww.
So you can listen to me. People are like, what does your father sound like? I was like, we did one podcast with him.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe one day, you know, the city of Chicago, when we're long dead and gone, they'll be like the Feast of Fun radio archive. But yeah. There's so many podcasts out there that there's like, it's an infinity of legacies and histories and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like most of the podcasts that, like how Eve said, like all of her friends have podcasts, and a lot of my friends do too, but a lot of them are kind of like navel gazing, like, oh, let's talk about ourselves. And I'm like, you're not that interesting. Get a topic.
I try to be an interesting person.
Well, you are.
You know, and so I try to do interesting things, because if I'm going to be talking about myself, I don't want to be bored.
Right.
Because I'm here. I have to live with me.
I can't tell you how many times I've caught myself writing in my diary and then I'm like, fuck it, I'm bored.
Well, when Mark's away, he asked me to keep a journal. Mm-hmm. And like every entry every day is like, I'm going insane. I miss you so much, you know. And I just don't want to put that in there, because it's like when he gets back, it's like every single day. It's like it's like The Shining.
I know.
All work and no play makes Fausto a dull boy.
Pretty soon.
A million versions of that, you know.
Yeah, you're going to have like ghosts in your apartment that you're serving cocktails to.
Giving a blowjob to a guy in a bear costume. There is a bear costume sitting here in the living room.
Well, look at how convenient that is.
That's for another project. Also that we can't talk about.
Yeah, secret.
There's like too many secrets in this world. Break all the secrets. But the problem is that there's a lot of like people, you know, asking us to keep a secret. I'm actually really good at keeping secrets. I have a reputation being this kind of like blabbermouth or person, right, who's like pushy or stuff like that. And mostly it's because I'm a gay man who is comfortable telling the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm comfortable asking questions that require people to think or analyze their lives. But if someone, you know, says, I really need you to keep this under wraps, I'm very good at it.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. I'm good at keeping
the
other people's secrets.
The audience is right now laughing at me. But.
Aww.
Liar! You're good at keeping secrets?
Yeah, I can keep other people's secrets, but not my own secrets.
Hmm.
Well, and never mind. I just that.
Well, that's you're revealing something about yourself, though.
Yeah, I'm like, look at this fun new thing.
Well, that's the push and pull, right, of performance, is that you're sort of required to give of yourself, and in some ways you're having to reveal private moments of yourself,
right?
And at the same time, then people go, who does she think she is, you know? She's giving up all her secrets, and I can't trust her, because if she gives her secrets up, she's gonna, right, give my secrets up.
Yeah, little do they know, I won't even remember their secrets to
That's
give
the
them
thing. I 5 minutes later, I'm like, what did it work? Where's the body? Who did you kill? What?
How do silencers work? We did learn how silencers work today.
We were thinking about that. It was like, you know, in movies, you hear, choo, 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 right? When choo, somebody puts a silencer on the gun, oh, I've been shot. But in real life, silencers don't work that way. They're just, you know, the gun sound is just not as loud.
Isn't that some bullshit? I feel like that's a whole lot of false advertising.
It's a complete bullshit. Just like the binocular view in movies, when they're looking at somebody in binoculars, it's two circles.
Yeah.
The same thing with silencers. Those that never exist.
More bullshit. You know, yeah. I think people would be more pro gun control if they knew silencers didn't work.
It's just like, it doesn't sound like a polite sneeze. Achoo! Oh no, I'm dead. So American Airlines is Mark is gone, and people are asking me where he is, and I cannot say anything about it. And so on some forums and internet websites, people have been speculating. about what's going on. And I think it's very amusing. And maybe they may have some truth to that.
Ooh, what are they speculating?
Or maybe not. I can't talk about that either because that also reveals things.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's fascinating that, like, secrets really do get people sort of excited.
And yeah.
They're like, oh, you know, it's a puzzle. It's a something to reveal. So when Mark finally gets back, I guess we can... And we still won't be able to talk about that stuff.
God damn it.
But when we're able to, the first show we'll do is like, we'll go to the top 10 theories of where Mark was, what he was doing. Because people have a great imagination.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate that, you know.
Yeah, so. Like where is underwater? Is and, he finding you know, the Atlantis?
Some people know what's going on. And everybody has been really good at keeping it a secret and keeping it under wraps. So that's really nice. So
that is nice.
American Airlines says to folks, keep your emotional support goats at home. Don't bring tarantulas. Don't bring alligators, snakes, parrots.
Iguanas.
Iguanas. Named Janice. I had I was dating a guy like, you know, 25 years ago, named Carl, and he lived with a woman who had an iguana named Janice. And this iguana would just sit there staring at us after we had sex. And you're, you know.
Was like, she jealous?
She was like very territorial, right? And we like slept on a mattress on the ground. We're young in college and stuff like that. And I was just thinking, it's like Janice wanted to eat us. Like if Janice could be bigger, like a Jurassic Park, she would just, you know, eat us.
Gobble you guys up.
Yeah. She would like hiss at us and like, you know, defend her door, like scuttle across the ground, you know, floor.
Loosen up, Janice. Nobody's here for you.
So people bring these, you know, pets on the airplanes and they're just, ooh, it's terrifying.
I don't know. If somebody tried to bring a goat on a plane, it would be the stinkiest. Like, I think goats are cute, but they're smelly. They don't smell good.
They like to eat things.
They do like to eat things, and they're kind of... You know, gone to those petting zoos where you feed those goats.
Do you like those?
Well, they slobber all over your hands. It's kind of gross. I'm like, I just wanted to, like, kind of pet the goat.
Well, Jesse slobbers all over your hands.
Yeah, but then there's, like, a bathroom nearby. I can wash up. But at these petting zoos, there's just, like, a little Purell station. And
You know what
I'm saying? The dirt's still there. You can still see it.
We're used to seeing dogs, but when you see a goat, you're like, this goat could bite my finger off.
Yeah, and he's got hooves, and I don't know how well they're potty trained. Like,
I'm terrified of goats sometimes.
For real?
But I love the little baby goats.
Yeah, those are so cute.
But even those, like, they're like, they're trying to suck on everything that they can, you know?
And the big ones can be mean sometimes. Have you seen those videos? Oh, yeah. Where, like,
and their eyes
they're like Satan rectangles.
Eyes.
I know.
They're like, please don't hurt me, Lucifer. I'm just a pagan symbol. So there's the Sesame Street video that you can watch on YouTube. It's vintage. It's about an angry goat.
A goat can feel sad. A goat can feel wonderful. A goat can feel mad.
Feel mad, feel mad, feel mad. It ain't bad to feel mad.
And it's kind of weird. It's three different animals. It's a dog, it's a bird, and a pig. And each one of them is like, are assholes to this goat.
Well, no wonder the goat's angry.
And that's what the song is. It's like, you know, like a pig comes by and is eating ice cream and turns to the goat and is like, we didn't get any for you.
And if a friend lets him down...
Forgot to bring one for you.
Would a goat say, no matter, don't worry, I couldn't care less?
No!
That pig's a jerk.
And the goat's like, I get mad, I get mad. It ain't bad to get mad.
Oh, I've got to look that up.
And then the moral of the story is like, his friends, it's good to express anger because then your friends know what makes you angry.
That's true. They know what your boundaries are.
And in the end, most folks are glad to find out what makes him mad.
He gets mad, he gets mad, he gets mad, anybody gets mad.
And that is the story of the Hulk, as told through a goat.
Right.
And those goats are mean wolf. Iguanas.
Yeah.
Goats. I mean, it's hard enough to be on an airplane with humans.
And I know, humans aren't that great either.
And you're just like, and part of it is, I think, is like, it's stressful flying an airplane. People get on the airplane and you're in a situation where they're just going, trying to see how they can torture you or how they can save money. And,
mm-hmm.
and you're
mm-hmm.
like, well, would you like a bed? It'll cost you $40,000 to go to, you know, and the only flight you can take is to Dubai. You can't visit your grandma in Texas or Florida or whatever. You know?
No.
And get one of those room airplanes.
I know. I see the commercials for those room airplanes.
You like, go to China, Dubai, Moscow, you know, places Trump likes to travel
right,
to.
Right, right. You could go to like the Axis of Evil is where you
countries.
Can go. Yeah.
And I'm like, damn, there's some people in this world that have like ridiculous amount of money and we don't even know who they are.
No, I know, but they're seeing those commercials for the rooms in the sky airplanes, too.
They're like, $40,000 for a room. I'm affordable.
I know. What a deal.
And it comes with a plate of hummus. And the stewardess gives you a massage.
A massage?
Yeah.
A little lower, honey. A little lower.
Have you ever flown, like, in first class, ever?
Once I was taking a little 3-day vacay to Puerto Rico.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And you treated yourself, or how'd you get?
No, I don't know. Somehow it was some red eye flight, and they were just like, "We're bumping you up to first class."
Oh, wow!
I know. It was
how long was the flight?
Like 8 hours. Maybe.
Oh, you went on an 8-hour first class flight?
I guess so.
That's good.
Yeah.
What was the major difference that you noticed?
It was just me in, like, my big-ass recliner chair, and then another person next to me in his big-ass recliner chair, and there was just alcohol flowing.
Oh, so you're drunk as a skunk when you got off that
yeah,
fire.
It was great. It was, like, 3 a.m, and I'm like, hey,
my champagne! Hey, lady, bring those champagne!
Yeah, it was great. It's never happened since.
We'll never bump her again.
I know. And they haven't.
Yeah, I've only flown first class once.
Ooh.
On a leg from Miami to Orlando. Because my father's, the children in his first family, my half-sister, mm-hmm. her husband was a travel agent.
Okay.
And back in those days, you can just buy an plane ticket on the internet, you had to buy it through a person, right?
Right.
And so these travel agents made a lot of money getting a little cut just booking people's flights.
Mm-hmm.
And he got perks. And so for family members, he could boost them up into first class. And I was like, ew. And what I remember the most was the food.
Oh.
Suddenly it was like fancy food, you know?
Yeah.
And it was Puerto Rican food. And we were like, oh, this is really nice too. And plantains and salad.
That is nice.
And I was like, I didn't want to get off the plane.
You're like, I live here now.
This is my new home. You know, and I always see that, like, you know, these drag queens that get on RuPaul's Drag Race and they start touring and they get money and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They move them up to first class, or then they start getting cheap because the gigs don't start coming. And so they ask the money for the first class tickets, mm-hmm. but they then ride coach.
Oh, really?
And they're like, you know, purposely torturing themselves. And some of them actually put on makeup on the airplane and they land and they're doing their gig like an hour after they land.
Oh, that sounds exhausting.
Isn't that just like brutal? I'm
yes.
Like, that's the one thing that those keeps babies. Me from like pursuing that RuPaul's Drag Race track, mm-hmm. if you can even call it. Because I see a lot of young people and they're all like, oh my God, I want to be on RuPaul's Drag Race. I'm going to be so bad. I want to be famous. And I'm just kind of like, yeah, but your act sucks, you know?
Yeah.
Or you're not really like, not that your act sucks, but it's, you know, it's like if suddenly the world is paying attention to you.
You got to elevate your shit, man.
You're still you know? And it's like you're kind of then spending all this money to make your shit not stink. But, you know, a good performance, a good idea shouldn't cost a lot of money.
True.
You know?
If the idea is solid, you should be able to just whip that shit out. You know, somehow, like, do a little workarounds.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? Get some Wet n' Wild instead of Mac.
Do you know Adam Rippon?
No.
The Olympic athlete, the figure skater?
No.
He's a big old sissy, super cute. He's the one who's, like, making Twink a comeback, right?
Nice.
New York Times is like, is Twinks making a comeback? And we're like, no. I guess people are seeing heterosexual people like claiming the word twink for themselves.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like men going, I'm a twink. And I'm like,
But do you like suck dick?
Well, they're just like thinking that means just a young, skinny guy.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Okay, fine. Language is fluid.
So Adam Rippon is on Dancing with the Stars, and I guess he's like projected to be the winner of the season.
Okay.
So good for you, girl.
Hell yeah. Get it. Bring in.
Get it.
Yeah. So just bring me up to speed. So is twink?
Yeah.
Oh, it's for everybody now.
Well, my opinion. So twink is a modernization of the British slang word twank, which is young sex worker.
Okay.
A young gay sex worker.
I didn't know that.
And, but you know, for my generation, we thought of twinks as like, you know, like a blonde is a skinny, young, fair, light haired, you know, superficial gay boy.
Mm-hmm.
And, but now, you know, twinks can be anybody. So it's about being young and being skinny and being an asshole. No, I'm just kidding. Just being like, oh my God, I love RuPaul's Drag Race. Yes. Yes, queen. You know, that's okay. A twink, I guess.
Yeah, because I had just associated it with what the description you had just described. And I thought that, like, I don't know, just like what Shel Silverstein was saying about appropriation.
We learned that Shel Silverstein's name and not Steen.
Right. That's a big... Big
rhymes with Frankenstein
and Einstein, as you said.
Yeah, not Einstein.
Not Einstein.
And Shel Silverstein was kind of a jerk. Like he hated people. And
he hated people.
He wrote all this poetry. He's like, I learned where the sidewalk ends. I learned the giving tree gave his life and love. And
yeah, but
he's like, I fucking hate these hippies. Blah, 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 you know.
Yeah. Well, now, like. You know, you look at the giving tree and you think about the author as being like this misanthrope, and you're like. Yeah, okay, I see it. He's saying we all are just killing each other for short-term gain.
The giving tree was a chump.
That's what he's saying. He's saying don't give.
Keep it all the apples to yourselves. Don't let them chop your trunk.
Yeah.
You're going to be left a stump emotionally.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm dead. Your only way you know about me is through a radio archive.
There you go.
It's like, I'm James Baldwin, and I approve this message. He's like, he gave James Earl Jones acting lessons.
For real?
I'm just kidding. But, they have that same kind of, I like to enunciate things.
And they do enunciate.
It's very important to speak quickly and then very slow. Make sure my words get heard.
You know, that's what you were saying that Barack Obama does, too.
And Eartha Kitt.
Yes!
I think it's like a thing.
It's
like
all coming around.
We always hear, like, you know, African-American vernacular English. Mm-hmm. Is you know, people like, what you talking? You know, that kind mm-hmm. of. But there's other schools, other cultures, other mindsets. And to me, it's like, you know, I'm very nuanced on that Obama, Eartha Kitt, mm-hmm. you know. James Baldwin. I call it the black actor voice.
Oh, okay.
You know, they...
Black actor.
They're like... It's kind of like, you know, when you hear gay men who've gone to acting school,
mm-hmm.
and then they sound, you know, they teach them to be... They sound heterosexual, you know, and they're like... They kind of, you know, they're shooting the words out. Like those actors from Supernatural.
Right.
Jason Eccles.
I know those guys.
Like Jason Eccles probably gay in real life.
I don't know that, but
you know what I'm talking about? Like those CW actors?
Yeah,
like
no.
Like half of them are gay.
Yeah, and that guy does talk kind of weird.
I mean, you know, what are we going to do tonight? The same thing we do every week. Suck and fuck each other. You know?
Yeah. There's got to be so much fan fiction out there about those supernatural boys just like somebody going to town on each other.
Somebody wrote a fan fiction story about the supernatural guys listening to the podcast.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
And that's,
then did they get busy with each other?
Okay,
good. I will watch that episode.
I'm like, it's fiction. Just pointing that out. Doesn't really happen.
Yeah, and that means that they're not brothers in real life, so it's fine.
We're brothers, lovers, maybe even both. Whereas, like, you know, Obama and Eartha Kitt, they
the Moors speak with precision.
Yes, very precise.
This is Barack Obama, and I approve this message.
Yeah.
Obama's a little bit more relaxed, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas
he's cool.
Eartha Kitt, she speaks through her nose.
Mm-hmm.
And likes to lengthen the words.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, she draws up suspense.
And I also noticed that in terms of AAVE, there's also the repetition of words.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very important to be understood. It's very important to be understood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about saying things twice to make them sink in. Mm-hmm. Sink in.
Yeah.
You get what I mean, don't you?
You know what? I gotta start saying that, though. Like, doing that. Because I feel like people aren't listening.
Yeah, we gotta open up and, man, the world is, we're also caught up in our own social media bubble.
Right.
We're gonna pop those bubbles.
Pop the bubble.
Baby, the world is waiting for you, and we gotta get you out here. There's a new study that says LGBT youth are stressed out, live in fear. Water is wet. The sky is blue.
I'm like, that's a new study? I thought they had been established.
Well, they're sort of, it's a survey asking them, like, how do you feel, you know? And they're just like, you know, everything we're doing, we're not doing really anything. Like, even Canada, who would think of Canada as this progressive country, mm-hmm. a lot of these LGBT youth groups in high schools are being disbanded.
What?
And part of it is just because the right wingers are just kind of pushing local agendas to try to disband a lot of those groups.
Even in Canada?
Even in Canada.
That sucks.
I know. And I'm like, what?
So then where can a person go? Like, what?
You gotta take acting classes.
Get on the CW.
Volleyball team, acting classes, tap, ballet,
tap
jazz.
Tap is hard.
You ever taken tap classes?
Yeah, as a kid I took tap classes. And
it's tappa tappa tappa.
Yeah, I was, all I learned was like shuffle ball change, shuffle kickball change. And I was like, I'm done.
You know, playing the harmonica is hard. I've been taking harmonica lessons.
Hard. Oh, really?
And I'm just like, I just want to blow. And so sitting next to me and the guy who takes in the class is this like, this guy who seems like a character from Saturday Night Live. He's like, I'm just here to play the blues. I'm here to play the blues. And they pull out the harmonica and the guy's just like blowing on it. And the teacher's like, try to just close your mouth a little bit. He's like, just blowing into it and going nuts.
He's just like slavering.
I love the blues. I'm here to play the blues. And then there's, you know, a Becky and Sarah sit next to me in the class. And they're we're here because we want to learn every single blues instrument. Because we're, you know, musicologists.
Oh, fun for them.
So they're very into the technical, the geeky, pundit, wonkish.
Yeah.
The wonkettes.
They're going to
music.
Play trumpet.
And I was just
saxophone?
Like, I just want to be a drag queen who plays the harmonica. That's all.
I'm a simple girl with simple needs.
You know, part of it is like, you know, I'm lonely and I feel like Mark's gone and it's like I'm missing him. And all my single friends are like, what? That's every day for me.
I'm like, I don't know. I watch a shit ton of TV. It's all right.
You just turn on. What's your go-to show right now?
Now I'm watching the first season of Westworld and I'm like, oh my God, all these layers.
Robots.
There's so many robots. Ooh.
I may be a robot too.
I know. I'm like, are we all living in a simulation?
I'm a horny robot.
They made me horny.
I'm fully functional. Can they fuck those robots in the show?
Oh yeah, it's a whole lot of robot fucking.
That was like a dream of me when I was a little gay teenager, is like building like a sexy robot.
Yeah. I support that dream.
But it's got, you know, in some ways it's like you want who you're having sex with to want to have sex with you, you know?
Right.
And
you don't want to have to
program.
Right. That's the whole thing.
It's like, ew, you know? It's kind of, you know, fucked up to want to have sex with a robot.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just
free
like,
will.
Imagine just like a vibrator with a little face on it.
But don't you want to liberate the vibrator too?
I would just like hang out in my drawer all day then.
Karma, leave. What kind of voice would a vibrator have? Like,
Karma, leave. Let me free. Set me free.
It's like Sid and Marty Croft.
Yeah.
I the have other holes I want to go to. Let me.
So, you know, I was watching reruns of The Boogaloos.
Oh.
The Boogaloos.
What's that?
So these guys, Sid and Marty Croft, they were these stoners. And they just thought, man, let's do children's television. And so they built all these crazy puppets and they raised all this money. And that they almost went bankrupt doing a show called H.R. Puff and Stuff.
I've heard of it.
Which literally is slang for, you know, smoking weed, right? And so it was like, and McDonald's stole all their characters and did the McDonaldland characters. And they sued them and got rich off the lawsuit.
Oh, okay. Good job, guys.
And so, because they're stoners, they took all the money and just put out all this crazy fucked up kids television. So, Sigmund and the Sea Monsters, or okay. Elektra, Dinah, what is it? The Bay City Rollers. A lot of beloved kids TV shows came out from the Sid and Marty Croft brothers.
Yeah, I've heard of those, and I've seen like little pictures on Facebook.
And there was one show called Lidsville that starred Billy Mummy from the Munsters, all grown up.
For real?
And he stumbles upon a magician's hat, and he falls into the hat and goes into a world where all the people are hats. Racist hats.
They're all racist hats.
So there's a wigwam hat, and he's like, how are you? I'm a wigwam hat. And there's like the, you know, I am a Mexican sombrero.
Gotcha.
And I'm a cowboy hat. You know?
Gotcha.
And I'm a nurse hat. You know, I'm concerned about things. And so all the other characters are hats, and it's called Lidsville. And then there's an evil magician there who was played by Charles Nelson Reilly.
Whoa.
And, Match Game stars, right? And so, but before they did that, they did another show called The Boogaloos, which was a crazy world enclosed onto itself. And it was four British teenagers who were pop stars called The Boogaloos, and they had a successful band. And they were chased by a character named Benita Bazaar, played by Martha Ray, in drag, like wearing a boa and a beak, and like she was kind of like a bird character.
Okay.
And she had a Nazi mouse.
What?
That was her henchman. Okay. Literally a Nazi mouse, like dressed up in, you know, SS everything except minus a swastika.
Right.
And it was a fucked up, you know, stoner humor.
Wow.
And she's like, I'm going to get those boogaloos. Those boogaloos. Oh, you know, Martha Ray chewing scenery.
Oh, wow.
And they're like, you know, Benita Bazaar, you're so crazy. We're going to sing a song now. Fly away with us into space. I'm far behind. And half of the show was just music videos of these British. And they were really cute. You know, these four British actors, child actors, teenage actors. Pretending to be these bug-like characters, and they had them on a green screen kind of floating around in space.
Okay.
And it was real trippy stuff, you know.
Yeah, it sounds real trippy. Sounds wild.
No, like they just did these things just because it was art.
Yeah.
And the Boogaloos.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, I love the. I never actually grew up watching those stuff, but it's like as an adult, I found a book about them, and I was so into their story that I just started like researching. And at the time there wasn't YouTube. And so I went on an early Amazon and ordered like the VHS cassettes of all their shows. And I was watching it, and I was like, this is like my drag inspiration for me.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I would dress up as like the fifth member of the Boogaloos.
That's so cool though.
And I made like butterfly wings and antenna and float around, you know, and you know, I was pretty back then.
I love it. I love, art inspiring art.
Yeah, man.
That's Yeah, it's great.
Let's make a show where all the characters are wigs. Call it Wigville. And this one is about shoes. And what is it? There'll be a lazy character that's based off of a flip-flop and a cowboy boot. And a really snotty pump. Woman's high heel shoes and an athletic jock sneaker.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an athlete.
Race ya.
How are you? Footville. Shoeville.
Shoeville.
Right next. It comes right after Lidsville.
Right.
Bohemian Rhapsody, the trailer for the new film about the life of Freddie Mercury and Queen is out. It looks fantastic.
Looks awesome. I can't wait.
The biggest shocking thing about it is audiences are like, Freddie Mercury was bisexual?
I know. People are dumb.
And I'm like, yeah, he had sex with women. But because he died from AIDS, everyone's like, he must have been gay.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? People have sex with all kinds of...
All kinds of people.
All kinds of people.
You know one thing I like to do, and this is like a guilty pleasure of mine, is flirt with trans women bodybuilders on...
Ooh.
On Instagram.
Yeah.
And they're like, they comment on my photos, and I comment on them, and I'm like... And, you know, some are really sexy, you know, they're like, I don't mind if you're male or female or whatever gender you like to present as long as you got guns.
I'm here for the guns. No silencers on them. These guns.
And so there's this one person who posted photos of herself and she's like, you know, I used to be a bodybuilder and, football player in college. I'm like, yeah, baby.
Yeah, tell me more.
Tell me more, you know. And then she looked really cute. And I said, oh, you're so beautiful and stuff. And she's like, oh, thank you. You're aww. So are you, you know, and stuff. And,
ooh.
And I'm like, developing a little friendship.
Oh, a little friendship.
Just like Freddie Mercury.
Yeah.
He had sex with men and women.
Yeah.
He was a pansexual. He didn't care about what you were as long as you connected with him.
And I think that's awesome.
There's a little bit of you and me and everyone who's LGBT.
There you go.
I got the catchphrases. I got the aphorisms, baby.
I know, I like
it. Put it on a t-shirt, baby.
Put it on a t-shirt.
And sell it.
Put it on a t-shirt. Yeah, I mean, if you can get like a nice, like, honest to goodness connection with someone, mm-hmm. like whether it's sexual or physical or emotional or mental or spiritual, like fuck, you gotta just like latch onto that shit. Cause
that's right, baby.
It's like really hard to find people on your frequency, you know?
Well, part of it is like, you know, sometimes people have a chip on their shoulder and they're not, you know, and I know that's from speaking from experience is like, if you're looking for love, if you're looking for a connection with someone, the best thing you can do is move out of the town you live in.
Yeah.
The week you're moving out, suddenly you're like, fall in love. It happens all the time. I hear these stories about people and they're just like, oh, I was moving out of town and, you know, met this guy. And part of it is just the psychology of that you don't have attachments.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in our interview with Scott Thompson, that's like, I feel like I share so much common experiences and struggles with him. And one of them is like, you know, we're sort of from other parts of the world and we're living in the United States working in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's there's this freeing aspect that if you're not born in the United States and you're just, but you pass as an American, you know, that you can just do whatever the fuck you want because, you know, none of your family's here.
Yeah.
They're way back over there. And they don't even care. You know, it's like people like who grew up in the towns that they live in. They're, you know, their aunts and uncles and family members, they're like always, you know, weighing in on everything that they do.
Yeah, they're always up in your business.
And like, give me some privacy.
Give me some freedom, some agency. And so
if you want to be a drag queen, if you want to be outrageous or say something really bold, it's harder to do so because you're worried about the repercussions you're not just going to get from your society, but from your friends and family.
Right. Because then they're going to be like, you said that, now everybody thinks this about you and me. And it's like, man...
What is my grandma, my nana, is going to say?
Yeah, I don't ever invite any of my family to watch my stand-up ever.
You don't?
No.
I love your stand-up, and this is why we fell in love with you, because you start off your set with, like, I'm having my period. Can you smell it?
Pretty much.
And we're like, give this woman an applause, standing ovation.
Yeah, but my family wouldn't like it, so I'm like...
They're like, come Irma, say nice things.
Say nice things. I'm like, but nice things aren't funny.
Are you developing more material?
You know what? I am. So I kind of went through this, like, I don't want to say, like, flat-out asexual phase, but I was kind of, like, in a sexual downspin, like, yeah. this past winter, which I'm coming out of.
I think so. You're right. Swipe. They call you horny fellow.
Swipe rightly.
This fellow never says no. You're basically That's like right. a hungry person on a buffet of
right.
life.
Right.
I appreciate that.
So, like,
a good appetite.
A good appetite. So, yeah, I was kind of going through this phase where I was like, I didn't want to have sex with, like, anybody. Like, I didn't even want to jack off. Just, like, the human body was really kind of gross to me. I was like, I don't want to look at genitals. And then I was like, I need a robot.
You want
like,
a robot.
I was like, I need a robot. Just, like, a sleek, shiny robot. And that's it.
You're like, I just want a robot. End of the podcast.
Yeah.
See you guys later. Is that your stand-up now? You're like, hi, everyone. My name is Karma Nybarger. I want a robot to have sex with. Good night.
Good night.
People are like, I'm a robot. You know, somebody on one of those hookup apps wanted me to pretend that they were a robot.
See, I didn't want to have sex with humans that were pretending to be
you
robots.
You want to know the robots there. You want to remove the faceplate.
Yeah, it was just like, my vibrator's so good at sex.
But is it ethical if your robot is you know has artificial intelligence?
Right.
Is it ethical to force them to have sex with you?
No, I didn't really want
or
like
program.
Yeah,
them.
I
like,
didn't want an
lines.
AI robot. I just wanted my vibrator to have more attachments so it could like hold me.
Well, you know they sell like sex dolls that look like men that you can put in a vibrator on.
Right. Like it, that's
would you buy,
all,
if you have
like,
all this
out
money,
of my. Price range.
But if you were like one of those rich, because I work with some rich old women.
Maybe.
And I know that some of them are having sex with those
little
those
like
Japanese sex dolls.
Yeah. I'm
with
like,
weird beards, you know, that look like G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Like sprayed velvet on their face.
See, no, I think I would just get rid of the head entirely.
You're just as bad as those like straight guys that only want big tits and no head. It's fucking disturbing. I had nightmares when I was a kid.
Oh.
My parents took us to like a fair and there's like, see the headless woman.
Oh, wow.
And it was like, get faster, come on. You want to see the headless woman? It's so freaky and stuff. I'm like, no.
No, I don't.
And as a kid, I just, for years, I had like this fear that they were going to cut my head off and use, you know, put me in the street in the fair. So I would sleep with my hands over my head.
So, like,
so
if
they
anybody went
chopped
to,
my head, they would lose my arms.
Yeah, but you'd keep your head.
The body would be ruined.
Aww.
Because they couldn't use my body, so they wouldn't chop my head off.
Right.
Freaky. It's like they do that. They put and so the basically it was a woman at a street fair with a helmet on. They're like, there's no head inside the helmet.
That's a great scam.
We were like, and you know, in Puerto Rico in the 80s, people bought it. They're like, it's just a chick with a, you know, sitting there with a helmet on.
Like,
is she naked? No, she's wearing clothes. It was like, is she got a nice body? It's like, you know, she's a Midwestern woman.
Yeah.
You know, wearing flip flops, shorts,
just a regular
a tank top.
Just a regular lady.
Just a regular
with
lady.
A helmet on.
And she's got a helmet on. And the helmet was, you know, covered in, you know, kind of a mirrored surface. So you
well,
couldn't
that sounds
see
cool.
inside what it was. So it was like, she's being kept alive by science.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's cool. So you can imagine just like all these like chemicals keeping the body alive.
Juices.
All these juices.
Science.
All these science juices.
And in my school, I guess the family that did that fair, they set up like business. They had that fair for like 6 months. And the son of that family and I became close friends. And his name was Adam Small.
Oh.
And he was really good, gorgeous.
Like, oh, that's nice.
Very young, muscular, blonde boy, a little, you know, with his voice a little bit lower than should be, you know? And he had, I don't think he wore underwear or something, or he had just big old genitals. You could see his package.
Oh, wow.
And like all of us as kids were like, you got a big dick. Like, and so we went on, like, we didn't go on a date. Like, I, you know, because I was at that age, I still, like, went to the movies with boys, you mm-hmm. know? And we went to see, like, The Color Purple. So we're sitting watching this movie. I was like, The Color Purple is really good, right?
It is really good.
And then Adam's like, hey, Fausto, lean forward into the next row and stuff. I'm like, what the fuck is going on? There was a guy and a woman, and they were fucking in the other row in front. And I was like, oh my God. So never finished watching the movie, you know?
Yeah.
And they just kind of like, they fucked and they were done having sex and they just got up and left. And so we finished watching the rest of the movie and it was like, you know, mama, you know, that scene where.
Yeah.
They're reunited.
But like. That's okay. So like, that's not a movie I would like, imagine
Adam
kids
was so
picking.
Fucking hot. Oh yeah. My God. He was, I was just like, I masturbated so much thinking about him in high school.
Yeah. Good for him for being hot.
Yeah. And he was like, he was, you know, cause I could, one of the few kids who actually was very comfortable in speaking English, you know?
Okay.
So a lot of the kids, their English was not so good, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I would easily be, make friends with the kids from other countries because I was able to communicate with them.
Right.
Better.
See, that's
and
the
Adam
power
Small,
of
honey, he was not small down there.
Oh.
I'll tell you that. He was, I looked for him on Facebook or anything like that and nowhere to be found. It's too much of a generic name, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But my first boyfriend, Adam Bartley.
Well, he's Adams.
He, I was watching Jaws in 3D, and a character in that movie looked like him. And oh. I was like, and I turned to Mark, and I said, I wonder if he's on Facebook. Because I heard that he had died.
Oh.
Like somebody else, I ran into some kids from the town that he lived in, and they're mm-hmm. like, he died from AIDS.
Well, okay.
And I was like, okay. You Whoa. Know. Well, in turn, it turned out that he actually almost died from AIDS. Back in the, you know, the early 90s.
But maybe he like made a turnaround and got into acting.
Well, no. I mean, he actually, he did really well and, you know, he doesn't look like the way he used to when we were both 18,
okay.
But, he's doing great and he's
good.
He's, and it was so wonderful to see somebody who had my first love, my first boyfriend at all these years later. And he was like grown up and he was married and happy to a man and
made the turnaround like
alive.
Yeah.
Like, not dead.
Yeah. That's huge.
So it was really, it was like a, it was almost like a ghost, you know, like it was alive and it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah. That is beautiful. Good job, Adam.
Thanks for staying alive.
Yeah.
So, it's so good to have you on the show.
Oh, it was so much fun.
Karma Nybarger. People can follow you on social media.
Yeah, Twitter, Facebook. I'm on Instagram, but I don't post that much.
But you can follow other people.
Yeah.
You can flirt with her.
Yeah, you can flirt with me anytime. I do love a good flirt.
That's what I like about flirting on social media or like hookup apps and stuff. If a person gets weird or violent or mean, block.
Yeah.
And it's done.
I did have a guy get real weird with me right away. Like, first off, this was a couple weeks ago. He's like, what are you doing tonight? It was a Saturday. And I'm like, well, I'm working the weekend, so just laying low. And he goes, psh, you're still working on weekends at this age? And I was like, yeah. Like, I just let it slide. You know, I'm like, it's a 24-hour market economy.
I'm an American. I work 3 jobs.
Yeah.
Like most Americans do.
Like, come on. This is what we do. Yeah. And then he kept going, and I gave him some compliment where I was like, you know, I really like that picture where you're like sitting in the window looking contemplative. And he goes, in the window? Don't you mean by the window? Let me guess. You went to Chicago Public Schools.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And then he just went on some tirade. He was like, you know, it's physically impossible for me to be in a window, right? And I was like, you know, I think your grasp of the English language is a little bit too rigid. Like, you know what I mean. It's like,
yeah.
Haven't you heard that song, like, that? How much is that doggy in the window? Like,
yeah.
Nobody thinks the dog is embedded in the glass of the window. Nobody's trying to buy So then he said that I reminded him of Trump because I kept doubling down on my errors. And then he gave me the barfy face.
Oh.
I know. I'm like, all of this is super offensive, but I haven't told you like anything to warrant like being likened to Trump or like a barfy face. I haven't told you about eating out of trash cans. I haven't told you.
He didn't feel like you have an empathy for him, even though he doesn't have any empathy for you.
I know. And so then I just blocked him. I was like, this is done.
Don't barf face me.
Don't barf face me. Don't call me a Trump supporter when I'm just...
I save those barf faces for Trump supporters.
I know. I'm like... Okay, I used a preposition you didn't like.
I'm just making grammar great again. Carmen Nyberger, it's a pleasure. Always.
Oh, thank you for having me and indulging me and listening to these terrible stories.
And your period smells great.
Oh, thank you.
Take care. Remember, folks, Feast of Fun is made possible because of your generous support. If you like this podcast, consider making a one-time donation at feastoffun.com/donate or listen to our interview with Scott Thompson tomorrow. It's going to be up there, not available for anyone else, at feastoffun.com/plushoney. Thank you so much for joining me today, Karma.
Thank you. Thank you guys, too.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.